following podcast is brought to you by the Communications and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. This is DJ Velo. Welcome to Wandering the Seven, where each episode we dive into the real history, controversies, and cultural significance surrounding the seven wonders of the world. Hi there. Welcome to episode 4 of Wandering the New Seven. Today we'll be going high in the cloud forests of the Peruvian Andes, where the earth touches the sky and the mist drapes itself around jagged stone peaks. There lies a secret, a city carved from the mountain itself, Machu Picchu, a name that stirs the imagination, part legend, part mystery, entirely unforgettable. Today it is one of the new seven wonders of the world, a symbol of human ingenuity, endurance, and spirituality. But for most of its existence, it was a secret known only to the mountains, hidden for centuries, suspended between earth and heaven. The story of Machu Picchu begins with an empire, the Inca Empire, the largest and most sophisticated civilization ever to rise in pre-Columbian America. By the early 1400s, the Inca had woven together an empire stretching across modern-day Peru, Bolivia, Ecuador, Chile, and Argentina. A land bound by more than 25,000 miles of roads, stone cities, and a shared belief that nature and divinity were one. They called their world Tahuantinsuyu, land of the four quarters. At the center of it all stood Cusco, the heart of the Inca world, both the political capital and the navel of the universe. And somewhere in that sacred geography surrounding it, a new city would rise, a city of stone and sun, possibly meant as a royal estate, a spiritual retreat, or something far more mysterious. Around the mid-15th century, during the reign of the Emperor Pachacuti Inca Yupanqui, the Inca began building Machu Picchu. Pachacuti was no ordinary ruler. He was a visionary, a conqueror, and a philosopher king. Under his reign, the Inca Empire expanded dramatically, and its art, religion, and architecture flourished. But Machu Picchu was unlike any other city. Built at nearly 8,000 feet above sea level on a ridge between the peaks of Machu Picchu and Huayna Picchu, it was both fortress and sanctuary, a palace of breathtaking isolation. To reach it, one would travel along the Inca Trail, a path cut through jungles and cloud forests, across stone bridges and steep cliffs, even though the journey is considered one of the most awe-inspiring in the world. The engineering alone defies belief. The Inca, who had no iron tools, no wheels, and no written language, shaped and fitted stones so precisely that a knife blade cannot slip between them. These walls have withstood centuries of rain, earthquakes, and time itself. Their architecture wasn't just functional, it was spiritual. Each stone was aligned with cosmic forces, the movement of the sun, the position of the stars, and the energy of the mountains. The Incas believed in Pachamama, Mother Earth, and in the mountains, the Apus, as living spirits. Machu Picchu was not merely a city, it was a dialogue with the heavens. No one knows for certain why it was built or why it was abandoned. Some scholars believe it was a royal estate for Pachacuti, a place of retreat and ritual. Others think it was a spiritual observatory aligned to mark solstices and equinoxes, a living calendar of stone and shadow. But when Spanish conquistadors arrived in the 1500s and brought the Inca Empire to its knees, they never found Machu Picchu. It remained hidden in the clouds, untouched, unseen, and almost mythical. For centuries, the jungle crept in. Trees grew through temples, moss blanketed the walls, and the laughter of the empire faded into silence. It wasn't until 1911 that the world rediscovered it, when an American historian and explorer named Hiram Bingham set out on an expedition through Peru. Bingham wasn't looking for Machu Picchu. He was searching for the fabled Lost City of the Incas, believed to be the final refuge of the Inca after the Spanish conquest, Vilcabamba. Guided by local farmers and a Quechua-speaking boy, he climbed through dense forests and over steep ridges until he reached a plateau shrouded in mist. And there, among the clouds, he saw the stones, terraces, temples, and towers rising from the jungle. He couldn't believe his eyes. In Bingham's own words, "Suddenly, I found myself in a maze of beautiful granite houses, the most wonderful and mysterious ruins on the face of the earth." He thought he had found Vilcabamba, the lost capital, but history would later reveal that he had uncovered something older and more enigmatic, Machu Picchu, the city lost not to war, but to time. Bingham's discovery made global headlines. His photographs, published by National Geographic in 1913, stunned the world. The lost city of the Incas, well, that's what people called it, became a symbol of mystery, adventure, and romanticism. But it wasn't without controversy. Many of the artifacts Bingham excavated, pottery, tools, even skeletal remains, were taken to Yale University, sparking a century-long dispute between Peru and the U.S. over their rightful ownership. It wasn't until 2012, after years of negotiation, that many of those artifacts were finally returned to Peru, a gesture of reconciliation and respect for the heritage of the Inca people, even though it took a century to get to that. But even after its rediscovery, Machu Picchu refused to give up all its secrets. Why was it built here on this impossible mountain ridge? How did the Inca carve and move such immense stones? And why was it abandoned so soon after its creation? These questions have fascinated archaeologists and travelers alike. And the truth, as with all great mysteries, may be both practical and spiritual. Some clues suggest that Machu Picchu was more than just a royal estate. It was a place where the Inca connected the physical and divine worlds. Its temples align with the cardinal directions and astronomical events. The Temple of the Sun is positioned so that during the winter solstice, sunlight pours perfectly through its window, illuminating the sacred stone within. And at the heart of the city stands the Ihuatana stone, the hitching post of the sun. A fun fact is that it's believed this carved stone pillar was used by priests to track the movement of the sun, ensuring that time, ritual, and harvest stayed in harmony. When the Spanish destroyed similar stones across the empire, Machu Picchu's isolation saved this one, making it one of the few that still stand today. As the 20th century turned to the 21st, Machu Picchu evolved from a remote archaeological site to one of the most iconic destinations on Earth. It draws millions each year, explorers, historians, hikers, and dreamers, all seeking to feel what Bingham felt that misty morning in 1911, that sense of standing between worlds. But with fame came new challenges: preservation, sustainability, and the delicate balance between tourism and tradition. And through it all, Machu Picchu endures, mysterious, magnificent, and humbling. The stones still whisper the story of the empire that built them, and of the people who have never forgotten them. Even now, after more than a century of study, Machu Picchu remains an enigma. It is both monument and mirage, the echo of a civilization that measured time by the sun, not the clock. When Hiram Bingham's photographs reached the Western world, the image of the lost city of the Incas took hold of the global imagination. In literature, it appeared in adventure novels of the early 1900s. In film, it inspired backdrops for lost civilization tales, from Indiana Jones to Tomb Raider, and even the animated satire, The Emperor's New Groove. It's a movie by Disney. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but there's basically an emperor who kind of slowly turns into sheep, and he goes on this crazy adventure to get turned back into a human. It's a cool, crazy movie. But in The Emperor's New Groove, the villain's mountaintop palace winks playfully at Machu Picchu's silhouette. And in countless travel documentaries from BBC to National Geographic, the first shot is always the same. It's mist lifting from the terraces as if the mountains were exhaling the history of Machu Picchu. But fame brings weight. By the 1970s, tens of thousands of visitors were hiking the Inca Trail each year. By the 2000s, that number had swollen into the millions. Stone steps worn smooth by centuries began to erode. The delicate ecosystem, orchids, spectacled bears, and Andean condors struggled under the footprint of fascination. UNESCO placed Machu Picchu on its World Heritage List in 1983, calling it an absolute masterpiece of architecture and a unique testimony to the Inca civilization. Yet it also warned, if we loved it too hard, we might destroy it. So, preserving Machu Picchu is not only about stone and mortar, it's about its meaning. For the Quechua people, descendants of the Inca, the site is alive. Each sunrise ceremony, each whispered prayer to Pachamama, renews a bond thousands of years old. Guides often describe the city not as ruins, but as a sleeping guardian, one that awakens when visitors walk with respect. Another fun fact would be that local porters along the Inca Trail still perform small offerings before beginning the climb. Coca leaves laid upon the ground and asking the mountain spirits, the Apus, for protection would be those small offerings. And what of the mysteries that still linger? Satellite mapping has revealed that hidden terraces and agricultural zones beyond the main site suggesting that Machu Picchu was larger than once thought. Some archaeologists now propose it was a kind of university of the Andes, a center of learning where astronomy, agriculture, and spirituality met. Others find evidence of women's quarters, perhaps the chosen attendants of the Sun Temple, showing that gender played a sacred role in the rhythm of Inca life. Still, there's one question that haunts every visitor. Why was Machu Picchu abandoned? There are theories. Smallpox brought by Spanish contact, imperial collapse, spiritual retreat, but no definitive answer. It's as if the Inca vanished into the mist, leaving the city intact so the world could rediscover it centuries later, just when it was ready to listen. The mythology surrounding Machu Picchu has grown beyond archaeology. New Age travelers call it a portal of energy. Filmmakers and artists see it as a symbol of endurance, humanity's ability to harmonize with nature rather than conquer it. In music videos, in fashion campaigns, and in travel reels flooding social media, the terraces have become an icon of wonder itself. And yet behind every drone shot lies a real story of families in nearby Aguascalientes, of conservationists monitoring humidity levels stone by stone, of guides teaching visitors the true Quechua names for each temple and terrace. Modern Peru faces the challenge of balancing tourism and preservation. Daily visitor limits, limited entry tickets, and mandatory guided routes now protect the site. The Peruvian government and local communities work together, sometimes uneasily, to ensure that the city in the clouds endures another 500 years. It's a reminder that heritage is not a museum exhibit, it's a living conversation between past and present. To stand before Machu Picchu is to feel time slow. The stones seem to breathe, the mist seems to think. Every angle reveals a geometry both mathematical and poetic, terraces cascading like verses of a hymn of the sun. Archaeologists call this harmony between design and landscape Inca syncretism, which is architecture as dialogue. Every wall leans slightly inward, every doorway trapezoidal to resist earthquakes, yet also to mirror the peaks around it. It's as if the builders understood something we often forget, that beauty is strongest when it belongs to its place. And though we've come to measure wonders by size and spectacle, Machu Picchu's power lies in silence. Unlike the Colosseum or the Great Wall, it was not built to dominate, but to disappear, to be one with the mountain. That humility may be its greatest genius. Let's pause here and imagine. The year is 1500. A high priest stands at the Intihuatana stone, waiting for the first light of the solstice. As the sun crests the peaks, it aligns perfectly with the carved pillar. Bathing it in gold, the crowd below falls silent. For a heartbeat, time itself seems tethered to the rock. Now, 5 centuries later, tourists gathered in the same place. Phones lifted, hearts lifted too. The moment still works. The sun still finds that stone. Some call it a coincidence. Others call it memory. Machu Picchu is more than a ruin. It's a question. How should we live in this world of mountains and sky? How can our creations serve harmony instead of hubris? Perhaps that's why it resonates so deeply. Because it's not just an artifact of the past, but a map for the future. Today, as the mists roll across its surfaces, across its terraces, Machu Picchu continues to whisper, to historians, to travelers, to anyone who pauses long enough to listen. It reminds us that civilizations fade, but meaning endures. That stone can speak, that wonder is not discovered, it's remembered. High in the Andes, the lost city of the clouds still breathes, and somewhere between earth and heaven, the spirit of the Inca still walks its sacred paths. Thank you all for joining us today on episode 4. I hope that you enjoyed this episode on Machu Picchu, and I look forward to letting you guys know about our next wonder in episode 5. Thank you for joining.